So, hi everyone. It's me, Jessica.
And it's me, Becca.
Oh, That doesn't seem true. I was going to look and turn to you. So
I'm here in Michigan and so excited because we finally won the big game against that other red state that I... What?
The Soviet Union?
Yeah.
That's finally. The one.
After 10 years, Michigan has won against the Soviet Union, which still definitely exists.
Well, they've always dominated college football. A lot of people forget
that's
that.
That's true.
The Red Scare Reds. Was that the they USSR. Would come and win the Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
This is not actually Becca. I know you're all shocked. This is Chris again.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Yeah, this is your third episode.
It is my third. Oh, third time's a charm for being funny.
In theory. How do you feel about being our most like heard host other than me and Becca?
You're welcome.
Am I welcome or are the listeners
your
welcome?
Listeners. You're welcome.
Fantastic.
It's truly a gift. It's the one gift I can offer to the world.
Yes, there's very, very little else. So we're here at my apartment. Becca is in Chicago with David having all of her bunions removed. And so she wasn't available for recording today. But Chris has gladly stepped in to substitute. Chris's mom is also here listening and supervising to make sure we don't get out of control.
Yeah. In silent judgment.
We made her go up so many stairs to get to my apartment.
It's true. We did so many stairs for me as well, because I have a number of incisions in my abdomen.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that at all? Because I've mentioned it in the podcast, like your surgery, but do you want to, they've only heard it through me. Is there anything you want to share about it?
Here's what I recommend. If you're going to have surgery, I highly recommend not losing a lot of blood. So if you can avoid it, that's the one thing. No, I did lose about 1.5 liters of blood, which was slightly more than they anticipated. That's about 30% of your total blood volume, which gave me anemia, which is cool because I get to take iron supplements, you know. It basically makes me Iron Man. I'm waiting for the suit in the mail, but, you know, it's the holiday season, so I think they're a little delayed.
Yeah.
It's been a long, I think slightly longer recovery than I anticipated. I dislike not being able to do everything for myself that I usually do and having to ask people for help. But you've been very kind, very helpful and supportive. And for that, I very much appreciate you.
I think that's the part that the listeners are going to have trouble believing.
Well, I can confirm Jessica was sometimes there.
On occasion, I was helpful.
Yeah, she lifted things and cooked sometimes. Yeah.
Also true. What did I, well, I made the pasta. I made a lot of pastas and a lot of salads.
They were all very good as well.
The other fun thing about Chris having anemia, you know, the fun thing, is that guess what has a lot of anemia fighting iron in it? Steak. And so every time I'm like, what if we just had steak? And there were a couple of times we just bought like little thin steaks and cooked them and just ate them. It was fantastic.
Yeah, the other challenge, though, is that they also want you to, like, really focus on eating super healthy food. So they're like, on one hand, after surgery, they tell you to avoid red meat because when you have a surgery that involves anything near your digestive system, you are likely to be constipated. So they want you to avoid that. And I'm like, but I have anemia. So I'm like, which one do I focus on at the moment? So I ate
focus
steak.
On steak.
Yeah, I ate steak. Sure did. And I'd do it again.
Yeah. I mean, we even did hot pot. We did get you out to hot pot last. Oh,
that was great.
It, Tuesday?
That was
Monday?
Great. Yeah. Monday. Yeah, I think so. It was pretty fantastic. A+ would recommend.
It was good. Little pre-Thanksgiving hot pot. And then we did Thanksgiving at your place.
Yep.
Was really good. Chris does like whole chickens all the time and they're amazing. But this week they did a whole turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It was also amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoy making Thanksgiving dinner. I like to cook for other people, less so for just myself, but I really enjoy cooking for other people. our friends Leslie and Bronwyn also brought a bunch of sides, so I didn't have to do the kind of the whole spread myself this year, which was helpful. Mm-hmm. Although you had to help me lift the turkey because I couldn't lift the turkey.
I did, yeah. So Chris isn't supposed to lift more than like 10 to 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And so what happens is I'm the lifter. So I've been doing the cat boxes. I've taken the trash down.
You're my muscle, babe.
Move the turkey. I fought off a roving pack of wild dogs.
Oh, no, those were raccoons.
They were so big.
Yeah. They have so many hands.
Yeah. The finger. I don't know if you've ever been touched by a raccoon, but the fingers are more leathery than you'd think, and yet somehow still softer than you'd think.
Wasn't that a really popular family television show, Touched by a Raccoon?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, that was a hit for CBS back in the day.
Oh, really beautiful, heartwarming stories in Touched by a Raccoon.
And Dr. Quinn, Medicine Raccoon.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Back
yeah,
to
I was
back.
Obsessed.
Those, the powerhouse Nothing of like CBS in the 90s.
Seeing that raccoon on horseback, it was truly a moment.
Yeah,
with both the of them hat. On TV and in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you didn't usually get that level of raccoon representation in the 90s. Mm. So it was, you know, that's an animal that I think we don't talk about enough.
Truly progressive.
Yeah.
And nobody even called them a trash panda. So,
no.
You know, I think we've kind of stepped back a little bit.
Well, yeah, you know, you watch what Guardians of the Galaxy calls him a trash panda. And he's like, is that good? And he's like, no, it's worse. It's so much worse. And like I guess they lampshade it because he calls out that it's worse. But
you know how the MCU is. The MCU really struggles with representation. So,
yeah,
we're not surprised.
Yeah. They made the raccoon a mutant. They couldn't just let him be a raccoon.
Yeah. And he wasn't even allowed to speak in his native tongue, which truly.
I wonder about that because there's no indication that they have universal translators, right? But they must because everyone can talk to each other.
I think at one point they did make a reference to there being a common tongue, but I don't know why that's English.
Right? That's like in Star Trek where the standard seems to be English. So
don't ask questions. Just enjoy the show.
And I do. Chris won't watch it, but I've been watching Discovery. It just came back out, and the first two episodes are really good. No spoilers, but it did feel a little more old Star Trek-y, and I appreciate that they changed the uniforms from the design they released at the end of last season, because it's too much gray. Now there's more color with some black in it, and I'm like, good. I'll take it.
I struggle with Discovery because of the first season. I just couldn't get past the first season, and I know I need to give it another chance because I've watched all of this. I watched Picard and that was truly terrible. So I know I need to give Discovery another chance, but I had such a hard time with the Klingon redesign and...
It was not a necessary redesign.
I didn't love the way they represented the ships and the technology, especially in a prequel. Like, it all looked too shiny, J.J. Abrams-y, even though we're in a prequel. I didn't care for that. I didn't care for most of the plot. I really liked the main character, though. I really, really thought she was great.
You
and
need
her,
to watch the second season.
And her dynamic with the captain that died was great. And then they're like, but here's the thing. We're going to bring her back, but she's evil now. And as we all know in
evil
Star Trek.
Evil means bisexual.
Evil means bisexual in the Mirrorverse. But it
was did you not appreciate the episode where she goes, you know, stop thinking of things so binary?
Yeah, that's nice. I also enjoyed the Mirrorverse where we learned that Kira is pegging Worf, but it doesn't mean that it's not still like awkward.
Happy for him.
It's kind of like all vampires are bisexual. And we like it, but we're
forever,
like, do we
get
always
over,
have
like,
to
your,
be
your
evil?
Hang-ups.
Do we always have to be evil and die?
Yeah. Yeah. No, when you live forever, you get over your hang-ups and then you can just love who you love. Don't worry about it.
It's truly the beauty of the vampire story.
Mm-hmm. And that's our sponsor today is vampires.
Oh my gosh.
Not really. We don't have sponsors. I did have a correction or comment that was sent in about some stuff Becca was talking about dog breed aggression last week. So I wanted to mention that for everyone. But
what? Like somebody commented to me
someone,
like,
yeah.
I'm
so
sorry,
one
I
of
need
our,
to fact check this
one
podcast.
Of our listeners, so they were concerned about the stigma around aggressive behavior by dogs. And wanted to share the following. So I'm just sharing what they told me. I don't know.
Is it
know.
The
I'm not
ASPCA
a dog person, but
statement
I'm gonna,
on pit bulls?
It's from nature.com.
Oh, okay.
And the Baltimore Sun, which okay. I don't follow. I don't live in Baltimore. But I want to share this, and I'll put the links in the post when this goes up. But the major factors in how aggressive your dog are is size and age. The breeds that are more likely to be aggressive are just smaller breeds, but they get away with it because a small Chihuahua biting you is no big deal. Pit bulls in particular are no more likely to be aggressive than any other breed. There's just a lot of stigma. And then a link was shared about pit bull prejudice and racial prejudice. And I'm going to send those out, but I don't know. I'm not a dog person, so I don't know how accurate it is. I assume with the supporting articles from both Nature.
I mean, I think people should just go and read the ASPCA statement on this, because they have an actual statement on this. Like, pit bulls make up about, like, what, 20% of dog bites?
I have no
and
idea.
They kind of go into the history of breeding and whatnot. But there are so many factors that go into the aggressiveness of a particular dog. So,
are you telling me that
read
nothing
your own statements
is cut and dry?
You know, I love to live in a world of gray, baby. Morally gray.
That's true. You kill a lot of people, but they're bad people. So is that, are you bad for killing them?
Mm-hmm.
Please come back for next season of Dexter.
Yep.
Okay, well, I guess we can get, we've selected some posts here. This is going to be kind of a Thanksgiving themed episode, in that all of the posts we've picked are Thanksgiving related.
Da, da, da.
So get excited if you hate your family. We don't really know what they are. We just went by the titles. Do you want to read the first one?
Yeah. You know, love to. Thanksgiving is such a, like, a fucked up holiday in general. But
the last two have been good for me.
On the drama.
Actually, the last three have been good for me, because the first year I moved. Wait, three? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So when the first Thanksgiving when I moved here, I had it with Meredith, and I beat her brother-in-law in Tetris so bad. And then the second one, I was with you, and we had hot pot, so automatically great. And then this year, we had your good turkey, and we're surrounded by friends and your mom, who is also a friend now, so good.
Yeah, it is nice. I just have a lot of Indigenous friends, so this day and this holiday represents something much more somber and tragic, and is just a reminder of that whole genocide thing that we love to cover up so much.
Of course.
So Thanksgiving is a really complicated holiday for a lot of people. So, you know.
I thought you were saying it was complicated for more, like, terrible families and their terrible
more
views.
For the systemic oppression and, like, colonialism and mass murder, all of that.
It's true.
And the way that we intentionally cover that up with, like, but turkeys.
It's true. Yeah. Never, like, I don't know, probably until I was in college, or maybe even after I left college, did I start to hear people talking about, like, hey, actually, this is bad. A bad thing happened.
Yeah. But for the purposes of this podcast, let's focus on people's family drama. Mm-hmm, but I always do encourage people, especially, you know, if you live here in the East Bay, there's the land tax, the Shumi land tax that you can pay if you live in the East Bay. But I think most of your listeners are in Michigan, so I always encourage those folks to know whose land you're on and what you can do to support Native causes.
Excellent. And well, maybe we'll find some links and I can share them out as well, so that if you did want to make a donation.
Yeah, I'm happy to share that link.
Cool.
All right. So am I the asshole for kissing my husband at a friend's event? I, female 37, and my husband, male 42, attended my friend Becky. Oh, no, her name is Becky. Female 36 annual barbecue last weekend. Becky and I have been close friends since college. I met my husband shortly after graduating, and while him and Becky have never been very close, such as hanging out without me, they have always been friendly toward one another, and we've all hung out together on numerous occasions. Becky recently lost her husband due to a medical issue, and we've all been devastated. So, you know, nothing dramatic here. This year, Becky texted me the day before her event and told me she was making this year's occasion a child-free one, and that meant I couldn't bring my three-year-old, and that she understood if I couldn't make it. I bit my tongue in an effort to be respectful and thanked her for letting me know, and told her I indeed wouldn't be able to make it. She responded by saying she was looking forward to seeing my husband at dinner, though. I saw no issues with this and sent her a thumbs up. The next morning was the day of Becky's event, and my mother-in-law, they said M-I-L, I assume that means mother-in-law.
Typically.
Luckily agreed to babysit our toddler. We thanked mother-in-law and headed over to Becky's with food, gifts, and no children in tow. As we walked in, Becky greeted my husband with a long hug and an excited hello. There are a lot of O's. And then me with a sort of surprised look on her face. She didn't say much to me and went into her living room with everybody else. I went to put the food down on the counter while she introduced everybody to my husband and referred to him as dear. My husband told me this later on in the evening. I walked into the room and she gave me no mind since she was deep in conversation with a friend of hers. Sometime into the party, Becky and my husband were both standing at the patio door and she had her arm around his waist. He spotted and looked at me with a help me glare, so I made my way over thinking she had one too many. I gave him a kiss as he separated from her grasp. Becky looked at the both of us and then back at the others at the party with a shocked expression and then ran back into the house crying. She ran into the bedroom and locked the room and screamed at me to leave through the door. I tried asking her what had upset her and why she wanted us to leave numerous times. She refused to answer me and just kept crying. So we left and on the way out received some pretty dirty looks from other partygoers. Later, I received texts from several mutual friends who scolded me for PDA and how Becky was so upset that I made her party look tacky and that I was rubbing it in her face that she was a widow. I was so shocked and hurt to hear this and mentioned that every other couple at the event was also being relatively affectionate and that despite my husband and I not being the ones to commit PDA in public, I had given him a side hug and a peck kiss and that was all. Anyways, I'm at a loss about what I should do. I feel like I hurt a close friend, but I'm not sure how and what I can do to fix it. Reddit, help! Am I the asshole?
So what do you think?
No. Also, what?
I know that I'm confused at the behavior of the widow, I guess. The comments seem to think that she was hitting on the husband.
Yeah, the behavior, it almost seemed like she was kind of using her friend's husband as like a stand-in. Her behavior toward the husband seemed weird.
Mm-hmm. The poster has some comments. I'm looking through to see if there's anything relevant. She says, I spoke to him after the party and he felt like Becky was acting strangely toward him, but wasn't sure how to handle it and thought she was just being extra friendly this day. He said he didn't see that she had done anything to cross the line prior, but when she put his arm around him, he started feeling uncomfortable and didn't know how to leave the situation. So he called me over to be near him. He had initially protested and did not really want to go without the poster, but the poster reminded him that Becky was still grieving and that would be nice for one of them to show up. She says, I chose to stay home with the kid, not him, because all he does is work and I wanted him to go out. And Becky sort of set it up in a way that she understood if I stayed with the child. And so he came, so I just went with it. Didn't have a problem with that. Says Becky and I are closer than her and my husband, and said, I've never had a problem where it was just the two of them, which has rarely occurred, and I would not have stopped him from going to an event that we've both gone to for years together just because I couldn't go. He did express not wanting to go without her, but he's not a bad father, never watches the kids. I don't see a problem with them going there. So it sounds like they had no reason to think this. The husband didn't think that Becky was crossing a line until she was putting her arm around him, but did recognize that calling him dear was a little weird.
Yeah, I have no idea. There's no kind of obvious explanation for Becky's behavior aside from, I don't know, grief
being a
makes
classic
you
Becky.
Yeah, I don't know. Grief makes you a little odd. That's such a bizarre story. But no, the person doesn't seem like an asshole. The concept that you being affectionate toward your spouse is somehow insulting a widow is kind of bizarre. And that other people also seem to agree with this. I'm kind of curious if she actually ended up talking to her friend to figure out, like, what the hell happened.
Yeah, I looked and there's no follow-up post. This post is only 10 hours old. So it's one of those ones where I hope there is some sort of follow-up.
Mm.
Yeah, someone is saying, one of the commenters says that the husband should have stopped it. The husband should stand up and remove himself from that situation. And someone else says that sounds like victim shaming because he was essentially being sexually harassed.
Yeah, I mean,
it's an interesting take to think the husband's the problem.
I think both of those takes are kind of odd. Like, sure, if you I think anybody, if you're at a party and somebody is suddenly being a little bit more affectionate than usual, I think it's very common for somebody to kind of freeze up and be like, what is going on? Yeah. Should I move?
Do I like, don't understand.
Feeling
this.
Kind of caught off guard and like a deer in headlights. So I don't think the husband was the problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I think, yeah, I don't think the poster's the asshole at all. I don't even know that maybe, I don't know that I would say Becky is an asshole, but I agree that she probably has some stuff she needs to work on and figure out. I want to know what set it off, you know, what was the issue?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if there was some sort of emotional trigger, if she was just grieving her husband and, you know, for whatever reason, something about that interaction set her off or made her think of her husband or her situation and felt kind of sad. I wonder if maybe the friend, the husband, the poster's husband in some ways reminds her of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his presence there and her kind of falling into habits and then that being interrupted may have
But I've got to assume there were other males there of a particular age, right? So like,
well, I mean, maybe there's something specific about him as an individual rather than his general age bracket. I don't know, we're grasping at straws here. That was a weird one.
Yeah, I liked it though. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a ride. Confusing, but a ride.
I'm gonna read our next one.
Fine.
Before our break here, and it's fine. Called Am I the Asshole for Leaving My Boyfriend Stranded After My First Thanksgiving with His Family. This one is an hour old, edited 15 minutes ago. I had my first ever Thanksgiving with my boyfriend's family. See, now that statement, is it your first Thanksgiving or just your first one with them? I had already spoken to boyfriend's parents on the phone a few times, but this was my first time meeting them. First, everyone was welcoming and polite, but then they suddenly, his dad, uncle, and sister, started talking down to me and making sly comments about how I must be happy to bag an American guy like their son. The worst was the father, who kept making fun of my accent, green card, and passport, making jokes and other rude comments throughout the day. Nearly the entire time was spent with him belittling me or making rude comments about my clothes, food I brought, even though he and everyone else had seconds, and my accent. Around 5 p.m., my sister called me after I sent her some texts about how the visit was going, and so I spoke to her, but the dad started mocking me by pretending to be me. I was genuinely surprised at the behavior of everyone, but most of all my boyfriend's silence. His mother and aunt tried to apologize, but I had enough of it and drove back home. My boyfriend tried to stop me, but I was so angry that I just had to leave because I was scared that I would say something terrible to his family. I drove off and left him stranded at his parents' as we took my car to visit them. Boyfriend said that I should have thicker skin and been a bit more patient with his dad, that his dad just likes to push the boundaries with his dark humor. Mm. He also says that I'm an ass for leaving him. I can't believe he thinks I was in the wrong. I feel like he subjected me to abuse and didn't stick up for me or at least try to protect me. Extra info, we are the same race, so xenophobia, rather racism, would be the correct term. I have a really strong Dutch accent, and they heavily mocked it, and they kept making German and World War II jokes.
Ooh.
That's the end of the post. I did not expect that it would be another white ethnicity within there. No comments, nothing else, and it's not a very old post. The boyfriend's the asshole here. Like, the family is the asshole too, but the boyfriend's absolutely an asshole.
Oh, yeah. No, that's terrible. I don't know why you would, you know, take your partner home and then allow your family to belittle them, mock them, and then get mad when they leave. Like,
yeah.
I mean, granted, we don't know how I don't know how old these people are, kind of what the dynamic is with, you know, dad and son. Like, is dad particularly violent or abusive? And maybe that's why that pattern of not standing up to him exists. But sure.
But then he did also defend them afterwards.
Yeah, that's crappy. Also, you got left. I'm like, she offered to take him with, I believe. Did she offer to take him with, or she's just like, I'm gone, bye?
No, he tried to. He tried to stop her from leaving, but didn't say I will go too.
The correct action would be like, hey, if you keep talking to my partner that way, we're gonna leave. That's inappropriate.
Yeah.
And then to do that, but he sounds like the dynamic in that family is to kind of just let dad do whatever asshole thing he wants.
Well, it said dad, uncle, and his sister. So his dad, his uncle, and his sister. Yeah. So like, so sounds like worse. Everybody but the mom and the aunt were being terrible.
Yeah, sounds like mom needs a divorce. No, they sound terrible.
The girlfriend and the mom can get married.
Oh.
That's what we always want to see in these posts.
Now, that's the twist. That's the twist we've been waiting for. That May-December lesbian romance.
It's just beautiful.
Now, that's a whole weird thing. I look at all of these are just like, yes, I went to meet some family. They were assholes to me. And
am I the asshole, though? No.
Yeah, also, I'm kind of like, do you genuinely think that you're the asshole here, or you just want somebody else to be pissed off on your behalf?
Sometimes on these posts, I like to scroll through and see if anyone says, oh, you're absolutely the asshole. But this is one of those rare ones where everyone is in agreement that the poster is not the asshole.
Well, I'm glad we solved that mystery. So
yeah, that one was easier than I thought.
Rest assured. I was
hoping some back and forth here, but that's
surprise discrimination against the Dutch today.
Yeah, I did not have that on my Thanksgiving checklist, bingo card.
But you know how honest the Dutch are, so.
Yeah. Jan Maas says it. You know he's not lying. That's he's true. He's just being Dutch.
I would never lie to you guys. Just telling you the truth.
Oh, Ted Lasso. What a good show. Okay, we're going to take.
I made my mom watch all of Ted Lasso in the last several days, and spoiler alert, she liked it.
How many times have you seen it through now?
I don't have to answer that.
Okay.
At least 5 times.
That's what I would figure.
Yeah. How many times have you watched Ted Lasso?
All the way through?
Yeah.
Twice.
Okay. I've watched it a lot.
I've watched handfuls of stuff, though, too. Maybe 3 times, because we watched it together the first time, and then a rewatch last week or the week before. And then I also watched a lot of it with Megan and then finished watching it myself. So I guess 3 times total.
There you go. I had to keep watching season 2, episode 8 over and over again until it stopped emotionally destroying me. Did you have to keep watching it,
or was that a choice you made?
It was to desensitize myself so that it would stop emotionally crushing me and crippling me for the rest of the day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Good call. Okay, we're going to take our break, and then we'll come back with our other 2 stories for the week.
Hooray!
Yeah, we're back. All right, we're back.
Great. And I hope everyone got a tasty snack. Getting real cozy.
Yeah, I don't know what get people do. Get you some hot cocoa. When we're on our break, like, do they walk away while the song's playing and, like, run back just in time?
Potty break, you know.
But I got to feel like a lot of people. Plant,
walk the dog.
Maybe they're already doing eat stuff, so they don't get to take a break.
Pick their nose.
Chris won't let me pick their nose.
Just for sanitary reasons. No other reasons.
I will wash my hands.
You don't get under the nails. You never get under the nails.
I actually do. I don't like having dirt under my nails.
Mm.
All right, read the next other things. Post.
Okay. AITA for calling my stepdad pathetic and my mother spineless during Thanksgiving dinner. All right, here we go. I'm 19 female and using a throwaway because my siblings use Reddit. I know it sounds bad, but here's the gist. I've got 2 siblings, 15 female and 17 male, and while I lived in my mom and stepdad's house, currently at university, I was tasked with most chores. Washing dishes, doing laundry, cleaning, running errands, you name it. While my siblings had done none. Their reasoning? You're older. I protested this many times, telling them my siblings were old enough to also share the chores, but stepdad always shouted me down and called me ungrateful after he put a roof over my head and fed me. That's been a line he's thrown at me endlessly. So basic parenting accomplished.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My siblings have been given anything they want, allowance, gifts, electronics, but if I asked for something, I was told I didn't need it. That's why I started babysitting at 12 so I could buy my own goods. I've worked since. They stopped buying me basic goods like sanitary products as soon as I started working. I'm at university on a full scholarship because I knew early on I'd be on my own on this front. I worked my ass off to get into my top choice. I love it there. I feel free and in control of my life. The issue came during dinner. Mom, stepdad, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins were there. I talked to an aunt who'd congratulated me on getting into my university, and stepdad says loudly...
That's the username.
What? Oh, okay. Trash AF giving. Yeah. Thinks her fancy college makes her better than everyone else, as usual. I can't explain what was different this time, but I snapped. I told him he was pathetic for picking on me all my life when all I'd done was try and be a good kid. And I told my mom she was spineless for letting him treat me this way. And I left, which I felt like the right thing to do at the time. I slept at a friend's and got a train back to university the next day. My mother has since called me distraught, like full-on sobbing, saying I was being overdramatic and that I humiliated them. She says that I'm ungrateful because look at how well you're doing. That's because of us. And I just don't know. I feel bad. She's this hurt. People have it worse. I am doing well. I have a family to come home to. I just don't know. Am I being dramatic? Am I the AH? Update. I can't tell you how... Oh, wait. Do we wait?
No, I think these are relevant. There's one comment I want to read. Okay. I want to mention, too, before.
I can't tell you how validating these comments have been. I never talk about my family in real life because deep down, I think I feel ashamed of how my family treats me. So this has been helpful, really. I don't have it in me yet to tell them what I need to tell them outright, but I do have it in me to go no contact. They don't fund any part of my life, so the only thing they can hold over me is themselves. I'm writing an email now to let them know not to contact me and that I won't be contacting them until I'm ready to communicate. Brother texted, Mom won't stop crying, hope you're happy. Sister texted, this sucks. So there's that. I love my younger siblings, but I'm going no contact with them as well before I figure out what I want. Thanks for the support.
So the one comment I wanted to mention, because there's no real follow-up from the poster, this one's only 8 hours old, is that the other siblings are step-siblings or half-siblings or whatever, because they're my mom and stepdad kids, so half-siblings. So I always wonder if that plays a part. Is it like a Cinderella kind of situation maybe? But I don't think the poster's the asshole at all. I think... It's what we know seems like it's been unreasonable.
No, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, on all of these, you're only getting a very one-sided story. But from what they have written, it doesn't sound like they were being inappropriate. The whole thing of like, well, I put a roof over your head and fed you. I'm like, yeah, you're the asshole that decided to have a child.
He didn't decide to have that specific child.
True, but he also got into a relationship with a person that came attached with a child. And that's a choice that you as an adult made. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't start dating this person and go, oh my gosh, I bet that child that is probably optional.
Yeah, I don't have to, like, take the child in too, do I?
And look, also, it sounds like stepdad has been kind of in the picture for some time. Like, it doesn't sound like stepdad just came around recently. Like, he's been around for a hot minute.
Well, if those two kids, the oldest of the other two kids are 17, the poster's 19. So, by my math, she would have been at least 2 when they started having those kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, if both step siblings have the same mom and dad.
That's my impression from the post, yeah.
Oh,
from
I don't the, know. Like, did the post didn't mention, was it a comment?
Well, not the post, the comment. So the comment that says they're my mom and stepdad's kids, so half siblings. So that means they're oh. the
So then, yeah,
the
then
moms,
they, but then quite...
not the same dad as the original poster. So,
stepdad is basically kind of been a parental figure
for
in this
a while, right?
Because
you've got to imagine they must have been together maybe a year before they got married and started having kids, right?
Yeah. It does sound like the other kids get treated differently than... Like, not only that, this poster is the oldest. So there's the dynamic of being the oldest that's also involved. Mm-hmm. And being the oldest, you tend to get shoved with more responsibilities, especially if involving chores and caring for the little ones. And it sucks So, yeah, doesn't sound like this poster did anything wrong. And everyone has the right to decide what amount of contact they want with their families of origin. If your family makes you feel terrible about yourself, of course you're going to distance yourself from them. Mm-hmm. This poster doesn't owe the family contact. It is kind of crappy that the younger siblings probably have been, like, the younger siblings are kind of in a rock or the hard place situation, right? Like, they didn't cause this problem, but they don't have the ability to leave the situation. So the only thing that they can try and do is try and convince the older sibling to settle the situation. So I feel kind of bad for the teenagers who are stuck dealing with the situation because they can't leave the same way that the oldest one can.
But it sounds like things have been pretty easy, easy for them relatively, like compared to the older siblings. So,
well, that's, again, only from... Like, I can't imagine that this dude who says this kind of shitty stuff is actually super wonderful for the other two. Mm-hmm. And is only, I mean, I imagine they experience their relationship with their parents differently, and they may not be able to see what their siblings are experiencing.
Sure.
Like, it's pretty common that you hear siblings, even over like a traumatic event, siblings might have very different perspectives based on their locality and mm-hmm. you know, where they are in that situation. So we don't really know what's actually going on with this 15-year-old, for example. But that sucks for everyone involved.
It does.
I mean, except stepdad, who sounds kind of like an asshole.
Yeah, he definitely sounds like an asshole. I want to share, before we start recording, I asked Becca and David to pull posts for us to record with. They didn't answer. That was an hour ago. David just messaged me and said, Ted Lasso, what would you say motivates Jamie? And then he says, Keely, blowjobs. And then he says, Becca's mom. Oh, okay. So Becca says, we're watching Ted Lasso with mom and dad, so we can't pull posts. And I said, oh no, we're 42 minutes in. I've just been stalling, waiting for posts. David says, just talk about Michigan football.
Great. We've already covered all the time. We already talked about Ted Lasso and we already talked about Michigan football. So we really,
yeah,
really anticipated needs here today.
Mm-hmm. So we have one last post. So I'm going to read it.
Thank God.
I know. Chris and I don't normally spend this much time together in a day. And
it's just, true. And I'm also, month, really. I'm also barely literate. So,
well, I would never tell you that to your face.
Well, it's true. You didn't tell me that to my face because I'm sitting staring at the back of your head right now.
I'd write it down and send it to you. And
she didn't
like,
want
to
face
know.
Me during this no, podcast. So she just we're wanted. In... She put herself in no. a corner. Baby put herself in a corner. What can I say?
We're in my living room. And the thing with it is my desk faces out and Chris Excuses. Is on the couch behind me. But because last time we recorded here, there was too much bleed into each other's mics. Which I can already see there's a little bit now, which is fine. I can deal with it.
That's because I'm talking over you.
No, but I can see when there's little amounts of sound.
No, that's because I'm talking over you.
Stop.
I'm
going to pull a Yondu. Anyways, I'm going to read this post. Am I the asshole? I wouldn't let my nephew hold my Nintendo Switch at Thanksgiving.
Can't wait.
I brought my Switch to Thanksgiving as a way to connect with my younger preteen cousins over Smash Brothers and Pokemon. I'm in my early 20s, so this is the only way I know how to build a relationship with them. They don't like sports or throwing the football around. For context, my older sister has a 4-year-old toddler who has some behavioral issues. She's raising both her children in some unorthodox ways, and we're kind of expected to understand the way she's taught them to deal with interacting with people and their emotions. I don't disagree with most of it, but some of it is strange. I have my Switch in my hands. Four-year-old comes up and tries to grab it out of my hands. Not necessarily opposed to letting him hold it with supervision, so I said, say please, and I'll give it to you, thinking this is a good idea. All hell broke loose. He started to scream, cry, and throw things. Not even a normal scream. You would think I was torturing him. Then everyone is looking at me, thinking I did the most terrible thing. My sister comes up, consoles the child with some strange verbiage, and asks me for the Switch. I say no. She says, I'm asking on his behalf. I still say no. If this is how he behaves, I'm not giving him the Switch. If he calms down and asks nicely, I'll let him hold it. I don't think that feeding into tantrums is a good thing to do. She then, instead of explaining, asking nicely for something to her son, calms her child down and then has him come up and ask me, why are you being an asshole to me?
What?
I almost burst out laughing at this four-year-old cursing. Then my sister says to me in her irritated mother voice, sometimes when you're 4 years old, you don't know how to express your emotions, and this is a great way to build a relationship with your nephew. Oh, no, no, no. Sarcastically, this is a great way to build your relationship with your nephew. Okay, that's fine, but you had that child come up and call me an asshole, but you couldn't get him to say please? Anyway, I didn't give him the switch. Both my sisters are vehemently, is that how you say that?
What?
Vehemently?
Vehemently or something? Oh, God, now I can't say
it. It's another word I've only ever read. I understand it means very. Yeah. Upset with me. Older sister expects an apology for, quote, being rude to her son. She says, I will not be seeing your children anymore because she wants her sons to be, quote, in touch with their emotions. Personally, I think she's raising brats. Am I the asshole? Question mark.
I believe it's vehemently.
Vehemently. Thank you.
It's a word that I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I know this word. And then you asked me that. And I was like, what?
That's how I, like, I got to it. I was like, what is how happening here? How do you word? What is this?
It's when a word becomes a sound.
Yeah.
Wow. So I feel like there is some context missing, because it's clear that it's been identified that the children have some type of behavioral issue, which sounds like there could be like a developmental issue or a learning disability or some other challenge. It doesn't sound like this was just a child having a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. It sounds like this child actually might have special needs. So I feel like there's some context missing to kind of what all of that actually meant and what the strange verbiage actually was that the sister was trying to convey. Because if you're saying, you know, for example, if the child were autistic and were having a meltdown, then kind of putting on those kind of rigid standards might not be how the OP reacted, might not have been the best. So I feel like I need a little bit more context of like what's actually going on with the children. But as for the mom randomly telling the child to walk up and say, you're an asshole. That's like, super fucking weird.
I think it's funny. I would have laughed too. I wouldn't have been able to take that seriously.
That would have been hilarious. Mm-hmm. Weird, but hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think the poster's the asshole. I mean, a switch, like, the child was throwing a tantrum and screaming and throwing things. I'm like, I would not give my switch to anybody who's throwing things because you will throw it.
Right, but I mean, the child wasn't doing that at the time.
Well, I mean, he screamed, cried, and threw things. But
that was a result of him saying, no, you have to say please. And yeah, kind of these kind of social niceties that uncle was trying to establish with the child.
But even then, I wouldn't let anybody come up and just grab something out of my hands and be like, I'm using this now. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want that. Not for something expensive like a switch. So,
yeah.
If it was a sandwich, fine.
Sure.
Not if it was Subway, though. That's different.
I feel like I'm mostly confused by everything that happens.
It is very
odd.
I was looking. I was hoping there was more comments, but there aren't really. What did
commenters say?
No one thinks that the poster is the asshole.
No.
And the poster, all that they really mention is that they were fine to let the kid use it if they were going to be polite and responsible with it.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of just confused why the OP doesn't seem to really know what's going on with the kids. Like, there's...
I want so many more details on these unorthodox ways in which they're being raised.
And why? You said they have behavioral issues. Yeah. Like, what does that even mean?
I think it's good to teach kids to, like, allow them to experience their emotions and be mad or frustrated or whatever. But
sure,
you have to find maybe healthy outputs. And I don't know that asking someone why they're being an asshole to you.
No, that's
is
super
the
weird.
Healthiest way of doing that.
No, that was super weird. No, mom's reaction was super weird. But I'm also kind of curious, like, if this is a child that has special needs. And if so, then perhaps OP's reaction was not maybe what should have been done. But mom also should have kind of prepped, like, if there was a special way that the child needs to be managed during upset or around boundaries and rules, because the child perhaps has a mental health disorder or a learning disability or developmental disability, then mom should have prepped the other adults in the home for how to interact with the child in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's not the child's fault. Weird. No, I don't think anybody, I mean, this is just weird. I don't think the person it is was weird. Being an asshole.
We get so many posts where I just want to know more. Like, I want more details.
I know that was on us for choosing relatively fresh posts with no.
It's true. Yeah. Updates. Maybe we look back and then we
they
see
were certified this too fresh.
Too fresh. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us here at the Unholy Pod. You've been a great audience. You know, take care of each other. Love each other.
Yeah. It's Bones Day. Go do bone stuff. I don't know. Whatever that's all about.
I don't do the bones.
It's like you don't appreciate TikTok.
I liked the cat that was licking milk or something.
The song?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like the duets.
I do like those because that's what brought us sea shanties earlier this year. Remember
oh,
that? What a glorious
that
time
was.
That was
great. Can't wait to see what the next musical sensation of TikTok will be.
I hope it's sea shanties again.
Let's bring sea shanties 2.0.
Maybe it'll be ocarinas.
Siren songs.
Yeah, that's it. We can lure men to their deaths.
Oh, remember the good old days?
I do.
Beautiful.
Okay, bye.
Anyway, well, I gotta go get my skin and get back to the sea. Bye.